tell me about the focus of your work and why you feel it's so important.
Well, the Transit Riders for Public Transportation National Campaign is a campaign of 17 organizations across the country. We're a civil rights and environmental justice national campaign, specifically working to shift the terms of the debate nationally around the Federal Surface Transportation Act, which, as we know, could be anywhere from $300 to $500 billion for the next 6 years. And so we're specifically working to get more funds to operate transit systems in the country, since there's massive fare increases and service cuts that are happening. Atlanta lost 25% of its service. New York has raised fares three times over the last couple years. Los Angeles has lost almost 500,000 hours of bus service. And Chicago laid off about 1,000 workers. So definitely getting more money to operate transit systems. Many of the focus of the Federal Surface Transportation Act is usually on building and building and building, yet there isn't as much emphasis put on actually operating. The second thing is we're trying to also have enforce civil rights regulations. The Department of Transportation has Title VI regulations, which prohibit racial discrimination by any federal recipient. And so at this point, we're trying to strengthen some of those Title VI regulations and their enforcement. So those are the two areas of focus for a national campaign.
How can we look appropriately at the infrastructure issue, and as it relates to transportation specifically, as a civil rights issue?
Well, across many urban and rural centers, the majority of bus riders, the most dependent on bus and train to a certain extent, are people of color and are low-income people. So in Los Angeles, for example, the average bus rider makes about $15,000 a year and is about 86%, the 500,000 bus riders are about 86% people of color. And we see the same in places like San Francisco and the Bay Area and places across the United States. And so for us, transportation or transit investments are very, very much tied to the most dependent people on public transportation, the folks that take very long commutes across a county or across a region. And we see repeatedly at the federal level that 80% of the massive Federal Surface Transportation Act is being put into highways, roads, and freeways, and only 20% of these funds go to transit. And even within that, many of the investments that happen are not necessarily creating jobs for the folks in the community, not necessarily benefiting the most transit-dependent. Many times, it's a lot of pork, a lot of multi-billion-dollar rail lines that don't necessarily benefit the most dependent.
The infrastructure dialogue in America, one of the things that bothers us is that there isn't a lot of dialogue about the infrastructure issue in America.
Absolutely. I think in the last couple of years, we probably, as a national campaign, have seen the most engagement by many people across the country. There is ourselves at the Transit Riders for Public Transportation. There is the Amalgamated Transit Union, who represents thousands of transit workers, that's meeting in D.C. this week, actually, where there's going to be a pretty historic meeting between riders and transit drivers and mechanics to try and figure out how to shape national transit policy. There is Transportation Equity Network, which has over 300 groups across the country working for equitable investments in transportation, and there's Transportation for America. So this time around, I think there's a lot of attention that's being put on this massive legislation, especially because the country is going through both an economic crisis and also an oil crisis, and the crisis of having a lot of the social services, the social safety net, being completely yanked from the bottom. And so I think that with a lot of the service cuts and fare increases that are being passed over the last couple years, places like St. Louis, that lost half of its bus service a couple years ago, there's a lot more attention by both community groups as well as legislators who are saying, how do we actually create a more equitable share of funding for as basic as operating our systems in this time when we need to stimulate people's pockets by keeping the money in their pockets at the same time that we're trying to maintain jobs and create them.
Why isn't there more of a more robust national dialogue, do you think?
I'm not even sure Americans really know who makes the decisions at the end of the day around their transportation service or even the roads and freeways and all of the basic things that people rely on. I think there is, unfortunately, somewhat of a crisis of people not even being informed that there is a $500 billion Federal Surface Transportation Act, second only to the defense bill. I think that more and more we're seeing a culture of consumerism, a culture of people not understanding basic legislative processes, a culture of people being very much enamored with their automobiles, and very much about keeping gas prices down and not even being clear why or how. And so people oftentimes, if they're even aware of the issues, are acting out of annoyance or anger about them being inconvenienced in any way versus really being activated. And at the end of the day, what's needed is more organizations on the ground educating, as tedious as it could look or could be, practically door-to-door, both drivers and both transit riders and transit workers, to create a more national debate. I think I have been told before in meetings with congressional staffers that even within the chambers of Congress, there isn't transportation is not even one of the big hot ticket issues. So I think it's both a responsibility of the quote-unquote movement that exists to continue to raise this issue to a national profile, both inside Congress as well as on the ground in our own regions, in our own cities.
Infrastructure investment that's being discussed, there is really a tremendous potential here, isn't there, if we get this right?
Absolutely. I think, we're at a little bit of a crossroads. We had 2 years of the Obama administration. It was an opening. Many of us kind of went out there trying to see what openings and policies we could shift. I think that the two-year window is kind of not there anymore. And what's happening is we're at a crossroads. Many people are saying we're now on the defensive. I mean, I'm not trying to sound more negative, but we're a little bit on the defensive. We see the current House as definitely a challenge. The new House that's Republican, and we also see that there are things slated to be cut. So not only do we see this as a tremendous opportunity for creating jobs, but we also see this as kind of a dangerous time where we need to protect also pots of money like Very Small Starts that funds a lot of the capital projects on the ground that could be completely gone because we're seeing an environment that's a lot more about having cost savings and being frugal. And so I think there's definitely a lot of work both to because there's positives in infrastructure investment, but also I think we also are going to have to play a little bit of defensive in trying to protect some of these infrastructure investments as well.